Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
See, I'll leave with every piece of you. Don't underestimate the things that I will do. There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark.
Residents in 11 Florida counties are all under mandatory evacuations ahead of Hurricane Milton. The Category 5 megastorm expected to make landfall early Thursday morning. It is one of the largest evacuations in Florida history, with nearly 6 million people being urged to leave the state's western coast.
You must leave. I'm not asking you to leave. I'm telling you, you must leave.
Quickly secure your home or business and safely evacuate the area.
While President Biden announced he has canceled a planned trip overseas in order to focus on the storm.
This could be the worst storm hit Florida in over a century. And God willing, it won't be, but that's what it's looking like right now.
Yeah, in a response to the pending disaster in Central Florida and the 6 million plus people who are under evacuation orders, which, by the way, John, correct me if I'm wrong about this, but I would bet on it. You know, sometimes I think, like, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure about this. There is no such thing as a mandatory evacuation order in Florida, right? Not true, like what you think of as an enforceable, people can get written up or arrested if they, you know, like, what we call a mandatory evacuation order is just, like, strong language.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
Okay, that's what I mean.
Yes.
They keep calling it a mandatory evacuation for all these different counties, which I understand you want people to leave. And they shouldn't stay and protect their property or whatever they think they're going to do. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not going to work for them. And, you know, I think, who was it? I didn't have a name on this one. Maybe Kathy Perkins from Pinellas.
This is not survivable. I just want to tell you, if you think you're going to be able to stay out there and protect your property, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, she's the Pinellas County Emergency Management Director, and I mean, she's right. You know, this is going to kill people because they stay. But still, it's not a mandatory, you know,
right.
In the sense of you think mandatory is you have to. It's not mandatory. That's just stern language.
Well, and I've seen on some videos, I've seen that the officers will come and knock on the door before the storm and go, I need your information. That way I can notify your next of kin.
Right. Which
because
is
when
what you do. Yeah.
Right.
And that's a good scare tactic. And I'm not saying they're wrong for doing it.
No, right?
But
you got their information.
Yeah, but it,
if you decide to stay.
Yeah, and so.
And we won't be able to rescue you.
Words matter to me, you know, a lot. And though I want people to evacuate, I also want people to know what the law is, you know. And I feel really, really confident about that. If any of my, you know, elected officials or any of my emergency management people are listening and they want to correct me on that, they'll tell me that I got it wrong. Meanwhile, here locally, we opened the Bay Center. Which is good. The Bay Center is open. We'll see how many people come. Remember yesterday we were talking to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator, about this, and he said they were kind of waiting to decide what they were going to do in Santa Rosa, because if the Bay Center opens, then they don't probably need to open something, and if the Bay Center doesn't open, then they probably would. I would not think it's going to overflow, but you never know. They're prepared for these possibilities. The weirdest good story about all this that I heard yesterday that just so surprised me, honestly almost created a tear for me, like it was weird because it surprised me, is Alabama has opened all 21 of its state parks for refugees.
Wow. Wow.
Why does that make me so sad happy?
I don't know.
But doesn't it?
Yes.
It makes you, refreshes your view of human nature or something. I don't
know.
It
really does.
And you know what? I think it's because it's an unexpected blessing. It's an unexpected kindness that... You know, well, obviously open up your state parks. I mean, duh.
And we haven't seen it before.
Right. I don't remember that ever happening before. And, you know, people, at the very least, I mean, you might, well, can people camp? Well, they have cars. You know, they have cars. They can sleep in their cars. I mean, it's not the city of Pensacola. Did I really? That's such a cheap shot. Meanwhile, in the city of Pensacola. No, but it's... I'm gonna get in trouble for that one. Anyway, yeah, so it's a really kind thing. It's a good thing. It's a good idea. And yet, you know, what we're seeing all through the likely affected areas, you're seeing, you know, all these debris piles. And all I can hope is that 130 mile an hour at landfall is what the expectation is, you know, that that's not going to just throw all this debris around again and turn stuff into second level projectile, you know, but hopefully not. Obviously, storm surge is a big problem that we're worried about. Still, the projections 12 to 15 feet in the most affected areas, and that's Tampa Bay. It has gone, it's a little south. Last time I checked, the expected path is a little south of Tampa. And weirdly, that's a lot, might be a lot better for Tampa. Because, you know, if it were to kind of get right on top of the peninsula and then pull stuff in and around, I don't know, it's not going to be good. Okay, but it's a question of degrees of bad. And it has been stronger than expected, consistently. It's still a Category 5, 160 miles an hour right now, last time we had a report, and it's now expected to landfall at a Category 4, not even a Category 3. So, yeah, this is going to be a massive, and tens of billions of dollars. Tens of billions of dollars of damage. And so insurance rates for you, and of course, we're not going to be affected at all, other than people coming here. Maybe impact on gas prices, maybe impact on housing, maybe impact on cars and things like that. But as far as like weather effects, none for us. 616 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, and the thing we talked about this last hour, but it's so worth noting. Even the governor mentioned advising people with electric vehicles to move them out of the way of the storm so they don't catch fire, or at least put them on high ground so they don't get storm surge. My dudes. Why don't we make EVs mandatory for everybody? Oh, I don't know. Reasons. Sorry, I try not to let snarky me come out very often, but, you know, Friday mornings for the transgressors and every once in a while during the regular show. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. It's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents to let you know about right now, and we're not seeing any delays. That's really good news. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing pretty smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, speaking of that issue of how Helene then and now Milton are going to affect housing and housing prices, I don't know how much to expect. I don't know if at all. I mean, you know, think about prior storms and the effect that that might have. But you think about repairs, you think about home insurance, as that's likely to change again. And home insurance, I know that's affecting people when they want to buy and sell a home, because it's affecting whether people buying, for example, ask you to replace that roof, when before, I mean, you would have never, you know, that just never came up. And now it's a question of whether people can afford insurance and how much that insurance is going to be, and that affects how much they can afford to pay for the house. Like, these things matter these days. But if you're selling a home and the last time you sold a home was like 10 years ago, what's normal now? Well, that's why you want a good realtor, because you don't know. But they do, at least if they sell enough homes. I mean, if they sell 2 homes a year, maybe not. But if, like Christina Leavenworth and her team, they sell 175 homes last year, they know. And they'll help you figure that out and say, no, you don't have to say yes to that. Or, you know, we can negotiate on this. 723-9158. You want a good expert for professional services like real estate. And that's what Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty can provide you.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Did you know the Port of Pensacola is more than just a name? It's the economic engine of Northwest Florida, a strategic powerhouse fueling growth with over 30 top-tier businesses like CEMEX, General Electric Verona Wind Energy, and soon, the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the port has been the heartbeat of our region's success, driving prosperity and opportunity. Discover the force behind our future at portofpensacola.com.
For some of us, It's way more than just hunting. Hunting is one of the best things in life, and Jim's Firearms is proud to be a part of it. Let the team at Jim's Firearms help you prepare for a successful hunting season. With a large selection of shotguns and rifles, you're sure to find one to meet your shooting needs. Jim's Firearms, West Pensacola, corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento Road.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCo Summit returns October 16th to Pensacola Beach. Sponsored by Data Revolution, this is your opportunity to get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and machine learning industry experts. Featuring a free career fair, Jurassic Park escape room, prizes, and a performance by the ultimate 80s party band, the Molly Ringwalds. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit ITENWired.com for tickets.
I'm Don Gates, and I stand with Governor DeSantis to stop illegal aliens from invading our state and draining our resources. I'll never allow illegals to get Florida driver's licenses, and I won't spend a penny of taxpayer money on illegals so long as there is one Florida veteran who needs our help or our care. Law enforcement is supporting me because I will give them the tools, the laws, and the backing to arrest illegals who commit crimes and get them out of our country. If Biden can't, or if Biden won't, then Florida must protect our borders and preserve the rule of law. And that's why I'm running for the Senate.
Don Gates, trusted conservative leadership, fighting for Northwest Florida. Paid by Don Gates, Republican for State Senate.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Eat lead, sucker.
The events of the past few weeks have pushed us to the brink, if not into, an all-out regional war in the Middle East. What can the U.S. do at this point to stop this from spinning out of control?
Well, let's start with October 7. 1,200 people were massacred. 250 hostages were taken, including Americans. Women were brutally raped. And as I said then, I maintain Israel has a right to defend itself, we would, and how it does so matters. Far too many innocent Palestinians have been killed. This war has to end.
If I have to listen to another Kamala Harris run out the clock set of answers to anything where she, well, let's begin back a year ago, because I know what happened a year ago, and I'm going to tell you again what happened a year ago, because that's the way that I can spend as much of this airtime sucking up everybody's total indifference to anything I'm about to not say. It just, oh. Okay, so 60 Minutes does this interview with Kamala Harris, right? Aired on Monday, a Monday night 60 Minutes episode. It was super weird. And to his credit, I thought Bill Whitaker did a really good job of pressing Kamala Harris and asking questions she wouldn't answer again and again. But there's a problem. I'll tell you about the problem shortly, but let's listen to what aired on Monday, okay?
We supply Israel with billions of dollars in military aid. Mm-hmm. And yet Prime Minister Netanyahu seems to be charting his own course. The Biden-Harris administration has pressed him to agree to a ceasefire. He's resisted. You urged him not to go into Lebanon. He went in anyway. Does the U.S. have no sway over Prime Minister Netanyahu?
The work that we do diplomatically with the leadership of Israel is an ongoing pursuit around making clear our principles.
Now, here's the thing. That was her full answer before he asked a follow-up. I don't believe that was her full answer. I'm watching this interview thinking to myself, this feels edited. I don't know how you know, but you know, it's like how a mechanic works on a car. They just kind of feel like something's off here. And having cut thousands of hours of audio in my time as a radio person, And listening to certain people and the way they talk, you learn what sounds normal for them and you learn what sounds normal for a conversation. I'm just telling you, it felt edited. But it's hard to prove that exactly. Oh, but wait, ladies and gentlemen, wait. I'll tell you about this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Even Highway 90 is looking good from Pace into Pensacola. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Okay. So, again, Bill Whitaker is doing a good job asking a question, following up here, following up a second time on the question that she didn't answer the first time.
It seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
We're not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end.
Okay. It's not much of an answer, but it's a concise answer. And then the very next thing that he says, this is in the as aired on Monday.
Do we have a real close ally in Prime Minister Netanyahu?
I think, with all due respect, the better question is, do we have an important alliance between the American people and the Israeli people? And the answer to that question is yes.
Okay. She is not endorsing Netanyahu, and she's allowing there to be a gap between the Biden-Harris administration and him, which I suppose is her prerogative. But I wanted to tell you that because that was the full, like, that's everything. I played every single part of the as aired. Okay, but let's go back for just a second. Here's how this question aired on 60 Minutes on Monday.
It seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
We are not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end.
But they released a slice of the raw tape, and Face the Nation aired it on Sunday, which 60 Minutes has not released to the public, the raw interview. But here's how she answered that question actually, as aired by Face the Nation on ABC on Sunday.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region.
So I've listened to this clip four or five times now, and every single time I start to get that confused, what the bleep is she saying? Is she saying anything approaching English? Because she's not. Every single time, what is being widely described as the Kamala Harris word salad, her famous skill of saying nothing inarticulately for a long time. That's what she actually said in the interview. Again, the edited version that they aired on Monday made it sound like, you know, she didn't give a great answer, but she didn't give a total botch. So on the one hand, Bill Whitaker did a good job of asking and repeating when the question wasn't answered, and he did that several times throughout the interview. I want to give him credit for that. But how much of this was spliced together to make her not look stupid? How much of this was, and listen, people leave stuff out of interviews that are pre-taped. That's normal. But the key rule is you cannot change the nature of an answer, and you cannot change the quality of performance that a person gives. Clear, bright line rules in news audio editing. It is okay to leave out things that do not matter, that genuinely do not matter, because you don't want to put on a boring program. I get that. But they changed the content fundamentally in a way that made her look less incompetent. 60 Minutes and CBS have a long history of being the news source. I mean, they have always been very, and Bill Whitaker did it, but this is disgusting manipulation. I mean, I'm telling you, I would never do that for somebody I liked or disliked, either way. I'll tell you, the closest I have ever come to anything like this is just for the sake of being able to listen to it. I would take gaps out of Obama. Sometimes I would shorten his pauses. That's it. And I always felt a little bit like, should I do that? This is unbelievable. And the Trump campaign has said, you need to release the raw audio. And just like when ABC did the interview with George Stephanopoulos and Joe Biden, and they release the raw version of it? They need to release the raw version so we can know what else was edited. How substantially was it changed? Because it looks now like a total propaganda piece.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Catastrophic is how the National Hurricane Center describes the storms that's about to slam into Florida.
Milton will make landfall sometime overnight across the west coast of Florida, bringing life-threatening storm surge, dangerous, devastating flooding, very strong hurricane force winds for hours, a risk of tornadoes, and widespread power outages. The system will cross the peninsula with the east coast feeling dangerous impacts through Thursday and even into Friday.
Fox senior meteorologist Janice Dean. Justice Department says a 27-year-old man from Afghanistan in the U.S. legally since 2021 admits planning an attack on large crowds on Election Day.
Officials say he and a juvenile were arrested in Oklahoma after unknowingly meeting with FBI assets to purchase two AK-47 assault rifles, 10 magazines, and 500 rounds of ammunition.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 69 degrees right now. It is clear skies, beautiful morning here in Pensacola. Well, Escambia County is on a good path. That's what we got from Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons yesterday. He says despite some high-profile shootings that have made news headlines lately, Escambia County is not becoming a more dangerous place. He says homicide numbers have remained steady, but calls for service as a whole have been decreasing.
The fact that I can I've been working with the county commission and getting more deputies based upon our increase in our population, and then the basically just the transitions of where people live and what areas people are attracted to, and then I think with the technology and the cameras, I think we're on a good track here. I think you'll see a lot of positive things going on in the public safety realm.
And Sheriff Simmons says that recent shooting incidents have typically involved drugs or domestic issues, and sometimes those can be tough to prevent. But statistically, he says the county's calls for service have gone down by a couple of thousand over the last few years. Well, there is a shelter in Pensacola for Hurricane Milton evacuees. The Bay Center last night opening its doors for those fleeing Milton's path.
The state of Florida, Florida Division of Emergency Management, is hosting this shelter, or they are really staffing and managing the shelter, and Red Cross volunteers will work the shelter, operate it.
Escambia County Emergency Management Coordinator Scotland Williams, she says Escambia County is always willing to assist other Floridians in need. The shelter is currently being run by the state and managed by the Red Cross. We'll be preparing and delivering food and water for evacuees. There's also local donation efforts underway. Those will be delivered after the storm in affected areas. A Gulf Breeze High School student facing a felony charge after allegedly making a school shooting threat on social media. Police say that they were notified of this threat at 1:25 yesterday afternoon. The high school was locked down. Officers immediately responded. They say they identified a 16-year-old student as the suspect, and they say that suspect was in custody less than 6 minutes after the call was made. Gulf Breeze police say that school threats will not be tolerated at any school in Santa Rosa County. A Kansas woman now facing charges after a man was shot on Pensacola Beach on Monday night. That happened about 10:30 on Via de Luna Drive in Fort Pickens Road. The man was flown to a hospital. No update on his condition, but 31-year-old Jacqueline King of Wichita, Kansas, was arrested and is being charged with attempted homicide in the case. In Tampa Bay, they are preparing for potential devastation. As Hurricane Milton continues moving towards the state, thousands of people evacuating. Spokesperson Jennifer Crabtree says the Tampa General Hospital will remain open.
We're prepared. We are going to gear up and take care of our patients. We're not going anywhere. And so we're hunkering down, and we're going to manage the storm as it comes.
And in the meantime, crews still working to clear thousands of yards of debris after Hurricane Helene just a couple of weeks ago. Officials say those massive debris piles could turn into deadly projectiles once this next hurricane hits. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. That's progressive.com/careers. No accidents to let you know about right now. We're seeing that I-10, I-110 is flowing smoothly. Just a small delay as you approach on Highway 29, both north and southbound as you approach I-10, but that's just congestion. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We do have a sunny day in store for you today with temperatures warming up near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 65. For Thursday, plenty of sunshine, high near 82. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 62 degrees. For Friday, we will be looking at a slightly cooler afternoon, high near 80 degrees, plenty of sunshine, low Friday night near 62. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
69 now in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 68 in Milton. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. New Zealand's central bank has slashed its benchmark interest rate by 50 basis points after its monetary policy meeting, marking a second straight cut. The cut brings the Reserve Bank of New Zealand's interest rate to 4.75% from 5.25%. McDonald's has filed a lawsuit against Tyson Foods, Cargill, JBS, and National Beef Packing, four of the world's largest meat processors, alleging that they've been conspiring to limit beef supply since at least 2015. The conspiracy, the company said, led to higher prices on the meat they sell to McDonald's and other food providers. CNBC reports Chinese tech company Baidu's robo-taxi unit, Apollo Go, is in talks to expand to overseas markets in the near future. Regulators in parts of Beijing have allowed companies to commercially operate self-driving taxis thus far. Futures are slightly lower. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 126. That's Your Money Now.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Boogie Inc. is the Gulf Coast leader in personality DJ entertainment. If you're planning a wedding, why not use the best entertainment for less? Their personality DJs perform over 100 weddings each year. They'll make your wedding reception one you and your guests will remember for many years to come. Call Boogie Inc. at 850-438-1660 or go to boogieinc.com. Boogie Inc. is the Gulf Coast leader in personality DJ entertainment. Remember, wherever Boogie goes, a party's bound to follow.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's I-Z-E-R-V-A-Y.com.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Breer, candidate for Pensacola City Council District 1. I'm passionate about my community and want our concerns heard at City Hall. I promise to be accessible, not just once every 4 years. You will continue to see me walking the neighborhoods and parks, meeting citizens and hearing your concerns, not just for photo opportunities. I will be available and promise to always listen, respond, and represent you. It's time for us to gain back our voice. Please vote for me, Jennifer Breer. Let your voice be heard on November 3rd. Paid for and approved by Jennifer Breer, Pensacola City Council District 1.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Good morning, 641 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. On Monday, you'll recall that I did an interview with Ashley Hoffberger, who is now the appointed District 4 County Commissioner for Escambia County. The governor decided on Friday to make that vacancy no longer a vacancy after 10 months of inaction. And 1 month before the election, he made that decision. And we talked with her. Since we talked with her, and since the rule about fair time is that if you talk to one qualified candidate, you should talk to the other qualified candidate. So we offered time to Ron Helms, who is the Democrat challenger for that same seat, District 4 in Escambia County. He wants to be your county commissioner after the November election. I called Ron and I said, hey, Ron, you want to come on? He said, yes, of course. And here he is, Ron Helms, Democrat candidate for the District 4 County Commission seat in Escambia County. Ron, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks, Andrew.
Great. Good to have you. So let's start with that. The governor did appoint your opponent 1 month before the election. What do you think about that choice?
Well, it certainly is interesting. I would have thought if the governor was going to make an appointment, it would have been the day after the primary election. And here we are. It was 30 days before the general election, and he appointed. I think they're nervous, Andrew. I think they've got more votes than they realize.
Do you think that there's a concern that they want to win the seat by putting her in, or do you think it has more to do with things the county commission is considering doing, like acting on this $90 million bond issue or OLFA right before the election?
Well, I know for sure that they have concern that she might not win with the latest polling. But there are some tremendously important things that need to get decided on the commission. We haven't had representation since January. But 30 days before the election certainly makes one wonder why the governor would do that.
You know, what's interesting is I had that same exact view. I expected he would make the appointment. I wanted him to make an appointment back in March. You know, like that's what I wanted. And I think we all thought that it was appropriate to make an appointment. And then I thought, well, okay, we got four-way race for the county commission seat. So in the Republican Party primary, he'll wait till the primary. When the primary is over and nothing happened, I'm like, what? Still no representation. So then I kind of expected that we just wouldn't get an appointment and would just be vacant until the election, and then all of a sudden a month before. But Ashley said the same thing. She was surprised by that. You're surprised by that. I think everybody's got their own explanation, but I wanted to get you on, you know, your perspective on that. I just think we've all been surprised by it. The why, you know, maybe we'll never know. I don't know. Let's talk about some of the issues that are going on in front of the county commission. Let's start with the ones I just mentioned to you. OLF-8, you know, they seem to be now willing to sell the whole parcel, which several commissioners said they want to get out of the development business. Gosh, we've only been saying that for 6 years. Do you think that it ought to be a wholesale of the parcel, or do you think that it ought to be a partial sale of some and, you know, kind of a landlord kind of relationship with the rest?
Well, look, I'm open to either way. Ideally, it'd be nice to sell it all to one developer, but it has to be the right project, the right plan. And it has to be something that the neighbors are really excited about, that have to live around there, because that's some very valuable land from my perspective, and we need the highest and best use for it. I'm not impressed so far, until recently, with some of the proposals. So I'm okay with not having a decision up to this point.
Do you think that there's a sort of a ethical obligation to wait due to the fact that Jeff Burgash has been voted out of office? Stephen Barry has yet to win or not win his election against Josh Robertson, the no party affiliate candidate. Obviously, your seat is, District 4. Ashley is there now, but, you may win the election. Who knows? Steve Stroberger, of course, is not there yet. Just as a matter of ethics, do you think it's wrong for the county commission to act before the election, before the new board takes over?
Well, I'm very strong on ethics, Andrew, and I run on that. Absolutely, we need to wait. The public has spoken, they voted, and we absolutely need to honor the wishes of the public. And what's the rush? I mean, we're 20-some-odd days away, so it's important that we wait and let the new board get in their seats and then move forward.
And we're talking to Ron Helms. He is the Democratic candidate for the District 4 County Commission seat in Escambia County. We'll be right back to Ron in just a second. Let's get John Pickens in here with traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. And I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Ron Helms again, the Democratic candidate for the District 4 County Commission seat in Escambia County. Ron, one last question on OLF-8. The board very much, again, the three-person block on the board, Jeff Burgash, Lumen May, and Stephen Barry, seem very much to be leaning towards the Chad Henderson proposal, a new proposal that apparently Stephen Barry has kind of been working on since this summer. And they seem inclined, although with their words they said they'd be open to Fred Hemmer making a similar offer for the whole parcel, which they had previously said they didn't want to entertain a whole parcel offer. Do you think that it's appropriate for them to sort of select the one, or do you think that they ought to be open to anybody under the new terms of the whole parcel opportunity?
Well, I think we need to be open to anybody. We're not that big of a town, but with Ashton Hayward coming forward and others, I think we just need to be fair and consistent in how we make decisions on the various proposals. It's not who's the most popular. It's not who can draw the most attention, but it's, as I said, the highest and best use of the land. And we want the most out of it for Escambia County. And I think that's what we need to do. And I think the new commissioners, without the old guard of 1, 3, and 5, really want to make the best decision for our community. And that's why it's important to wait. That's why it's important to listen to every proposal. And if we don't have one that's ideal, then we need to wait even more. There's no 911 emergency on picking that proposal at this point.
No, that's I totally agree. And the idea that there's a sudden urgency about OLF-8 that's been sitting vacant for this 6 or 7 years now is hysterical to me. Another issue: it's not in your district, but the sports complex in District 1 would bond encumber the 5th cent. Most of which is generated by Districts 1 and, District 4. The beaches, obviously, generate most of the tourism development tax money. I'm assuming, based on your comments already, that you want to see that decision push off as well. And then what do you think of that idea of a sports facility right in the back of Ashton Brosnahan Park?
Well, I agree that we need to wait. I think the push is for that to be some legacy decision for the commissioners that are going out or maybe going out. But it kind of doesn't make sense to me, Andrew. We definitely need to do something to our Bay Center. It's going to cost a lot more than we think. But I just don't know. We don't have the infrastructure for the sports complex where it's proposed. And I know that the residents want it. But it will take a lot of money. And I don't know if we have found the ideal location to put the sports complex. I'm all for it if we have the right place, the right support structure. We need to wait. And maybe I'm even open to flipping the proposal with putting the most money into the Bay Center that's desperately needed. I just hate to tie up that money for that long of a period of time you know, I'll be a very, very old man by the time the residents of Escambia County get that paid off. It's not fair.
The other one I was going to ask you about, because it has been there's been no better example of why we should always have representation in a district than the Finley JoJo proposed development to, you know, put a massive number of what townhomes, I think, is the most recent version of this, in behind a little circular subdivision, using two empty lots in that neighborhood to outlet and ingress and egress that development. The folks there have been protesting at the county commission meeting for as long as I can remember, but there's no representation from District 4. What's your position on that development, and what do you want to say to those folks?
Well, I have met with all of the residents. I've walked the area, knocked on each door, and for those who are being affected by this decision, they've also reached out to me at different times, and I've spoken clearly at the Board of County Commissioners. The proposal that is has come forward is not worth our time in developing. I am very supportive of good development, but this particular developer, absolutely not. And we base that, as we would anyone else, on what they have built already and how that is serving the community or how the people are satisfied with the money that they've spent. I know I'm biased, but I am not supportive of the new proposal the way it is. I'm open to, you know, a better plan. But right now, they're just going to pile in on the residents, and I will not stand for that to happen if I'm elected. We will be making a decision to push the developer or a different developer along to do what is non-invasive to the very established community there. And, you know,
I just want to question on that is, one of the things we hear a lot from the county commission is that they don't have any power to stop certain things, because if it fits the zoning, if it fits the future land use, for them to say no to something because they don't agree with the development, they'd actually get sued. Of course, we know this county commission has made a lot of decisions that have gotten them sued, and they've lost. What would the authority be that you would use to say no to that development?
Well, I'm not in office yet, but I think I have to explore all options. I want to understand clearly why the board feels they cannot do that. You know, I'm sure it'll be an educational moment for all of us to figure out what we can do to stand by the residents in this particular location. So I don't know, but I think that, like anything, Andrew, the board of the county commissioners already has a history of stopping whatever they don't want to happen. And just like whether they consider proposals on OLF 8 or anywhere else in our county, they find a way to make what they want to have happen or not happen in this case to be put in place. And gosh, yeah, Escambia County, they have plenty of lawsuits, and none of them they seem to win. And when they don't win, they go after the person who's suing them, and then they still end up having to settle and not win. We don't need any more of that. But I hope to meet with that developer soon and, you know, make sure I fully understand completely their proposal. I think I'm pretty well on board with that as far as updates and knowledge of what he plans. But we'll see. You know, it's not over till it's over.
I only have about a minute, because I always have to keep, like, if there's equal time things, I have to keep them to the same time limit. But it sort of sounds to me like, on the one hand, you're saying you want to use the sort of power of the position to stop a development that you don't like. But it also sort of sounded to me like you were criticizing the commission for being fickle about things they do and don't stop in the past. Can you clarify for me which side of that you're on?
Well, I'm certainly not on the side of getting sued and having to have shade meetings all the time and spending taxpayer money on lawsuits, to be clear about that. But I think we could work with the developer, maybe help improve what is proposed. even though we haven't seen a formal proposal, and just see what he has planned. But for now, as I understand, the townhouses that he plans to put in, they're not the quality of townhouses that the residents of Judge Air Road and others, you know, want. And for once, I think we need to listen to the people who are there. And, of course, it's Escambia County, as I said. We need more housing, absolutely. But we need responsible building, something that embraces the community that's already there. And then we move forward in that direction. We
Very
may not
good.
Get it perfect, but we need to strive for it.
Ron Helms is a Democratic candidate for County Commission seat District 4 in Escambia County. Ron, I appreciate you running. I always think elections ought to have candidates on both sides so that we have a choice to make. And best of luck in November.
Thanks. Hope everybody votes November.
Absolutely. Yeah. 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still no accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. Starting to see just a minor delay if you're at the Highway 29 right there at I-10 going southbound. You might see a little delay there, but that's just congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Locally owned and operated, Pensacola Poolscapes offers a lot more than pool liner replacement and pool supplies. Imagine unwinding after a long day in your own luxurious spa where relaxation meets elegance. At Pensacola Poolscapes, they have a stunning selection of high-quality bullfrog spas and swim spas, perfect for soothing those aches, getting fit, and relaxing. And right now, they're offering end-of-summer rebate just in time to enjoy the upcoming fall weather. Visit them online at PensacolaPoolscapes.com or on Gulf Breeze Parkway across from Tiger Point.
Everywhere you look, things are getting more expensive. So at Consumer Cellular, we're lowering the price for those 50 and up. Now you can get unlimited talk, text, and data for $30 a line when you buy two. That's just $60 a month for two unlimited lines. So if you're 50 and up, make the switch and save. Come on, you've earned this. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com today. Requires two lines of service, age validation, and credit approval subject to system and area limits, taxes, and other fees apply.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Mama named Clay. I'm going to call him Clay.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh, man, the barbershop scene is one of the best scenes in Coming to America. 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Hurricane Milton could cause as much as $175 billion in damage. That's according to some early estimates of a worst-case scenario by Wall Street analysts. That, of course, on top of the devastation already seen by Hurricane Helene. And NVIDIA has now passed Microsoft as the world's second most valuable company. The AI firm saw its stock rally over the weekend to hit a market cap of $3.19 trillion.
All right, thanks so much, David. And you said there's the new information, the new advisory has come out, and it's downgraded to a Category 4?
Category 4, 150-mile-per-hour wind.
So just below the threshold, 157, right? That's the threshold? Okay. Massive storm coming to Central Florida.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.